This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're glad to talk about an upcoming resource fair for veterans and seniors and some other issues with State Representative Dan Swanson, who's here in the studio tonight. Thanks for coming back to town.
Well, thank you, Will. It's always a pleasure.
You were here yesterday for the opening of the John Sibley Senior Underpass. What a great thing that was.
Oh, absolutely. And what a beautiful day. And meeting with the Sibley family is just an exciting event. And I had the opportunity to use a bridge today coming in from Peoria this afternoon.
And how'd you like it?
I've made it right through.
There you go.
And, no water standing, and it was just a beautiful. The big welcome sign is just awesome.
That's good. We did have a little bit of a rainstorm this afternoon here downtown, so it sounds like so far at least the drainage is doing what it's supposed to, right?
Absolutely. That's promised great. Us that yesterday.
How often had you met John Sibley before his passing?
Not very much.
Yeah.
I met Mrs. Sibley quite a bit here and over the last couple of years, but hadn't really gotten to know John real close. But, you know, he's one of those individuals that everyone knew him and no one had a bad word to say about him. Just a great, great American and a great resident here of Galesburg.
I think I said on the air yesterday, if we were all more like him and the example that he set, especially kind of feeling that little bit of motivation from Tony Franklin's speech yesterday, that we'd probably all be a lot better off, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Tony gave an impressive speech.
Absolutely. So that's the end of, I guess, the three big projects, the grade separations here in town that your predecessor, former State Representative Don Moffitt, helped push for. The governor told me yesterday in an interview while he was in town that he's going to be pushing pretty hard for another capital bill. Sounds like, as much as we all like money for infrastructure, that sounds like that might be a pretty tough battle given how we've dealt with the budget the last few years.
It's going to be a very tough battle. Most in the House and the Senate aren't too excited about having to do any more in way of moving taxes upward. And being an election year, it makes it even more difficult to see how things will shake out next year.
So. Realistically, do you think we really need to raise taxes to get this done, though?
Well, we're out of revenue streams. Where else does it come from? And that's the unfortunate part. We need to look at our budget more closely, and we'll just have to fight harder next time around.
I imagine infrastructure, that's probably the number one thing you hear about as you go about the district, isn't it? Or pretty close?
Absolutely. Very much so. We've got so many routes here throughout Knox County and the other four counties I represent that are in dire need of repair, and we just keep throwing blacktop at and patching the holes, and we need some real structured reform. And part of what our budget did include this year was funding for IDOT to begin projecting farther out and potentially catching some opportunities for getting the programs and getting roads programmed out earlier so it's less costly for us in the future by paying some of those costs up front.
The governor suggested that maybe it would be a lot easier if, one, the budget were balanced, and, two, he claims he's proposed making a surplus in the budget, which I think is whether or not that's actually true is up for debate. But that it sounds like that might be one way to do it if what the governor wants actually happens.
Absolutely. You know, if we can have a surplus in our budget, everybody's happy. This year we've the budget had about a $200 million difference between expenses and what we're going to be taking in, but $200 million doesn't go very far in a several billion-dollar budget.
Yeah, no kidding. We're talking with State Representative Dan Swanson here on Galesburg's Evening News tonight. The other thing, one of the other main things I talked to him about was the concern that's been raised here by superintendents like in Knoxville and others about funding of pre-kindergarten programs. The local regional office of education wrote a grant for that funding, and after getting it the last 5 years, they turn around and have to apply again, and they were turned down. That's something the governor suggested he wasn't particularly fond, even though it seemed like a rigorous process of the way the state board of education has made that a competitive process, and he'd like to take a look at that, and he said possibly change it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we definitely need to look at it. When just this past spring, we went to Superintendent Scott, we being, not me, but ISBE, and said, mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to ramp up your programs. We want you to go hire people. We want you to buy equipment, and we want you to find space, and gave her some money, And she did all that she did, or did what she was asked to do, and as Jody would do, did the best. And now to find out that the money was gone. And not only, I mean, I represent her, and also Angie Zarvell, a superintendent over in Henry,
right,
Stark, and Bureau County.
Did they get any funding for pre-K?
No, so we all, it was cut over there too. It's pretty much the I-80 corridor.
Yeah.
If you touched a county on the board, if I-80 passed through your county or you were bordering county to I-80, there was no funding there.
That's interesting. Kind of how that played. I don't imagine that there was any sort of willful, rejection from a geographical standpoint, but the governor suggested he was troubled by the fact that some districts got more funding, some districts got less, and some districts, like the two here, you suggested, got none, and he thought, again, if pre-K is proving its worth, why not fund it?
Right, and the several of the local legislators, we contacted ISBE immediately and had several telephone conference calls and shared many emails on our displeasure. Each of the districts were able to do an appeal, and those appeals were heard, and Governor Rauner was able to find the funding to fund that delta, the difference between what was needed and what was actually provided. So we're very thankful for that our programs are going to continue on as needed.
Yeah, the governor said he certainly wanted to, try to get the funding to those that were deserving of it.
Right. And
for sure.
And one of the difficulties with the funding, as I understand it, was the old one shoe fits all mentality. No matter what your abilities of your district's wealth, everyone was given the same money per student, and that dollar figure applied whether you were a wealthy school district and received the funding or a low-income school that needed that funding more.
And so, I imagine that there are wealthy school districts that don't need any money, but probably, I would imagine, tried to get it just as much as everybody else did.
And not only tried, but they did.
Yeah.
So that's the disheartening part, is that they only asked for X amount of dollars, but they were given sometimes more or twice as much as what they asked for. And when that happens, there's less dollars to spread out.
In our next segment, we'll talk about why you wanted to come in today to talk about the this resource fair. But before I have to take a break here, it's been a little while since we've talked to you here. How are things going across the district? What other concerns are you hearing about these days?
Well, of course, the education and our roads, as you've already mentioned. Trying to find how we can quit spending all this money that we seem to be able to do quite well, but it's just wonderful. As big as this district is, I've got three county fairs down. I've got two more to go, and just out and about as much as I can. And I just ask people, when you see me, come up and talk to me. I know we all have things on our mind, and that's why I come out to the districts to talk to people.
And some folks will have a chance, I imagine, to talk to you or your staff here next week with a resource fair coming up. So talk about this just in general first, and kind of how it came about and why seniors and veterans specifically.
Right. Well, this idea came about when I was a superintendent for the Henry County Veterans Assistance Commission. I held my first veterans fair at that time and saw a real need for our veterans. And what was most interesting about that event was, not only did I observe a lot of veterans walking out with their bags full of information, but the exhibitors, the 30 exhibitors that were there, crosstalked and identified some gaps throughout our community that they were able to try and help fill those voids. So, not only is a veteran walking away with the wealth of knowledge, but also those exhibitors. And so that's what really got me interested in, as now as a state representative, to begin these programs.
I'm not a veteran, so I imagine, the thing always is that, some of us maybe have a little better time getting through some of the systems and through some problems other than compared to veterans, perhaps. How big of a problem is it getting needed information on some of these things that you deal with to veterans and seniors?
Well, one of the things with the federal VA programs and even our state programs are getting too computer-based.
And I thought you were going to say too heavily regulated by government, although I imagine there's some of that too.
Oh, that too. But the point is that, when we think of our elderly veterans, they may not have the access to the computers. So that information flow in the information world is, and now the internet world is new to them. So bringing this to their doorstep or bringing them to a central location to hear from so many different groups is part of the awareness and part of education for our veterans.
I should probably back up here. When we're talking about resources here, what sorts of things are you talking about that that folks will be able to find?
Well, I think here at the Knox County Show, I've got about 40 exhibitors
okay.
who will be participating. Bridgeway will be there, Equipped for Equality, Galesburg Cottage Hospital, Hospice, Goodwill, Hy-Vee, IDES, a lot of our state programs, IDES, the Employment Securities, Department of Employment Security. The Illinois State Treasurer is going to be there to help people find some lost cash. That's always a good thing.
We just had him in the studio here earlier this week. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Lane Evans, VA Clinic, will have representation there. Peoria Vet Center, we've got folks coming up from the Vet Center. And then Spotlight on Lyme QCA, an organization that focuses on support groups with people with Lyme. So
that's something that you've worked a lot on here in the last legislative session.
Absolutely. And waiting the governor's signature, the mother and the daughter who brought that Lyme to my awareness were here yesterday just so they could talk to the governor and say, hey, governor, remember us, sign our legislation.
I should probably halt this discussion knowing that they were here in town. It was a Mercer County family, correct?
Right, right.
And they did get the chance to talk to the governor?
Right, yeah. They had a chance to spend just a few minutes with him and got their picture and shared with him their, it went to his desk, I believe, the end of June, and he mm-hmm. has 60 days. So they were just following up with him.
What did the governor say to them?
He understands it. He supports it. And it's just a matter of time. He's got over 600 bills to get through. So keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's a lot of signing he's going to have to do.
Right.
We're all going to law for sure.
But. And I was just down there Monday when he signed some of my legislation. And every time he used, he signed two pieces of legislation. I think he went through almost a dozen ink pens to do that so he can pass them out. But a lot of great local groups are coming together to put together a great show for our veterans. And last year was a veteran show only. This year it's a senior show.
Okay. In terms of all that information that represents a wide variety of different issues and concerns that veterans and seniors may have, but is there one particular area or of concern that you hear about from veterans or seniors or both?
Medical care.
Yeah.
Medical care, some of the housing, some of the issues with even applying for Medicaid. My office, Julie Dilley, in my office, spends a lot of time helping people get through the Medicaid process. And by doing it now, we're bringing people to the community to help bring awareness. And the VA, as you said, can be quite daunting. And and bringing folks that it's always good to put a face with a name. We pick up the phone and call someone, but if you can sit across the table, it helps.
Absolutely. Will you be there next week?
I will be there. I've got a show Monday the 23rd or a resource fair Monday the 23rd in Geneseo.
Okay.
From 4 to 6 at the Geneseo Community Center. And then Tuesday we move to Aledo at the Mercer County VFW. And we're there from 11 to 1 in Aledo.
Okay.
And then we're here in Knox at the Knoxville American Legion. They're going to open our doors up. And we're going to be there from 11 to 1 on the 25th. And then on the 26th, we're in Princeton from 11 to 1 at the Metro Center. And each one of my fairs, I run them over a supper time or dinner time, and we provide food. The
That's
veterans and seniors can come and enjoy a hot dog here at the Knox County or Knoxville American Legion, provided by the Sons of the American Legion.
That's
they're cooking hot dogs, pork and beans, and a good full meal.
All right. So again, the one here is next Thursday, was it?
Be next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. I'm
next
sorry.
Wednesday at the Knoxville American Legion.
And I get things confused with Princeton all the time. No, I'm kidding.
And when I was there, just to give a plug for the Knoxville American Legion, I was there visiting with them today. They were in there cleaning up the fish for tomorrow night's fish fry.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, so, Friday night fish fry.
There you go. Yeah, you should be able to smell that right when you drive by the Legion.
Absolutely.
Or at least I do on my way home to East Galesburg, but that's another discussion. So Wednesday, 11 to 1 at the Knoxville Legion.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Anything else we should know about, Dan?
No, I just... Please come out. I still do have some space if someone would like to reserve a space. There is no charge. Exhibitors are free. I provide a table and chairs, or actually the facility provides a table and chairs. We set it up, It's free. You can call my office in Woodhall. Call Julie at 309-334-7474 if you'd like to reserve a space.
All right, again, 334-7474.
Absolutely.
All right, State Representative Dan Swanson, thanks for sticking around tonight, and thanks for all the work you're doing for the area.
Well, thank you, Will. It's always a pleasure.
Stay tuned. Kim Komando and sports coming up, and then Cardinals-Cubs baseball all still ahead before 6 o'clock here on WGIL.